In this 19th chapter of the book of 1 Kings, we have been watching some events unfold in the life of this man Elijah. We saw how he fell into pride and became discouraged and defeated. We saw him as he ran into the wilderness and prayed to die. We saw him make a journey to Mount Horeb to seek for a word from the Lord. We saw the Lord confront Elijah and show him that the root of his problem was that he had allowed circumstances in his life to eclipse the face of God. When we last visited with the prophet, he is standing in the mouth of a cave on Mount Horeb, wrapped in his mantle, responding to God's questions. When we left Elijah on that mountain, he is still defeated, discouraged, complaining to God about the mess that he is in. Look at verse 14 of 1 Kings 19. And he said, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." He's discouraged, he's defeated, he's complaining to God. As these events continue to unfold in the closing verses of this chapter, we're allowed to see the fact that God is not finished with Elijah just yet, nor is he finished with you or I. There was a day when this prophet had rode high in the saddle for God. But like many others do, he got thrown off the horse of service, and he was left wounded with the wind knocked out of him. All of the events of this chapter have been leading up to what happens in these verses before us. Here we get to see Elijah as he climbs back in the saddle again. Yes, God brings him out of his valley, and he puts him back in the thick of the battle for the glory of God. Brother, sister, God wants to do the same in your life also. Let's learn how we can come back when we have been down, as we think on this thought of being back in the saddle again, or being back out of the valley. We have seen the misery of the prophet. We saw Elijah running. We saw Elijah retiring. We saw Elijah rationalizing. We see God coming to him in compassion. We've seen God coming to him in confrontation. And in verses 15 through verses 17, we find a new commission. Verses 13 through 14 tell us that Elijah is again asked the question, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" His response is the same old answer. Notice, God's question is in the present tense. Elijah's answer is in the past tense. Doesn't matter what you've done for the Lord in the past. The question is, what are you doing today? Let's familiarize ourselves once again with verses 13 and 14. As I just read to you earlier, verse 14, look at verse 13. "So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" What are you doing here, Elijah? This time, God sets the prophet straight, though, and tells him how things really are. God has a threefold plan for Elijah, for getting Elijah back on track. Let us look at his new commission. It starts a commission of promise. Elijah is called to return to Israel through Syria. There he is to anoint two kings and a prophet. He's given an important assignment from the Lord. He's up out of the valley. He's back in the saddle again. He's given an important assignment from the Lord. He's given evidence that the Lord is not finished with his life. He's not finished yet. Once again, Elijah would ride high again. Once again, he would be the man of God. Surely this was an encouragement to him, this commission of promise that God gives Elijah. The Lord is not always finished with us. God is the God of the second chance. It would, to those who have wandered off the Lord's path, good if they were to come before him this morning, confess that they have sinned and ask God for a new assignment. The Lord is faithful. We must not forget that the Lord is faithful. He will forgive you. He will use you again. 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we sin, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Some men sin, and they never again reach the level of service and usefulness that they knew before. Perfect illustration is David. Others sin, and they see their dreams vanish away before their eyes. We see with Moses, he did not get to go into the promised land. Yet others are given a second chance at ministry, as we see in the life of Jonah, and especially in the life of Simon Peter. You never know which it will be for you. The question today is, are you willing to take the chance that your little fling may have been your undoing? You may have fallen, you may have gone to the pig trough, so to speak. But let us remember, our God is the God of the second chances. The best course of action is to do all things God's way and avoid all the trouble that comes with rebellion. Like Elijah, you might not ever be what you were before. Many have fallen away and the Lord has restored them, but not to the former glories that they had knew before. Others have been restored and been used even mightily, more so than they were previously, as we see in the life of Jonah and Simon Peter. But yet in the life of David, we see not so much so, nor in the life of Moses. But that does not mean that the Lord can still not use you for his glory. You can still be a blessing. Like Elijah, he was a blessing, even though he wasn't used the same way as he was before. We can still be a blessing to the kingdom of God. If you're wallowing in the pit of depression, why not bring that to the Lord and ask him to use you again for his glory? He still has plans for your life, or else you already be in heaven. Just because you've fallen does not mean that the Lord will not raise you back up. God gives a new commission to Elijah, as we see in verses 15 through 17 of 1 Kings 19. Then the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Mahalo, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elijah will kill. Notice, in that text, you shall anoint this prophet in your place. He was going to anoint the very man that was going to succeed him. Elijah is being restored, a commission of promise. Also, we have a commission of peace. As Elijah hears the commands he's being given by the Lord, he hears that he's to anoint a man named Jehu to be king over Israel. This must have been music to the ears of the prophet. This meant that Ahab and his reign of wickedness would be coming to an end. Also, verse 17 gives him the promise that his enemies will perish. What all this means for the prophet is that, in the end, he and his message will be vindicated. Many times, you must wait years and years and years to see the message that you brought the people come to pass. Elijah's message will be vindicated. In other words, all the events, all the trials that have taxed Elijah's physical, spiritual, and mental reserves are coming to an end. This is God's promise to Elijah, that he will outlast his battles. Brother, sister, you might be walking through some very difficult and deep valleys, but I am glad that I can tell you that they will not last forever. When you're in that valley, when you're in that difficult place, when you're in that deep place, it seems that it will never end. But it does end. It will come to an end. The valleys do not last forever. There will come a day, just as sure as there is a God in heaven, when you will walk out of that valley with your head held high. Even though your head may be down between your knees, even as Elijah's was when he prayed, the Lord will yet lift you up. He will raise you up. God is faithful, and he will see you through the difficult days that you face as you go through this world. This is a difficult journey, brother and sister. There's hard times, hard places, and hard hearts to deal with, including, unfortunately, our own at times. We can become very hard-hearted ourselves, even as Elijah did. He had had great victory, and yet he ran. And how many of us have known great victory and yet have ran? But the good news is that the Lord restores. The Lord brings his promise to pass. Many of us have known the hard times and the hard places. There will be valleys. There will be trials. There will be struggles. And there will be problems. But the God that we serve is greater than all of those things. And he will give us the victory. A matter of fact, if he's done the greater thing, if he's given us the victory in the greater thing, how much more the lesser things of life? 1 Corinthians 15:57 tells us, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's in the context, that's speaking of death. That's speaking of the great destroyer. Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, Hades, where's your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's given us the victory. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Elijah had come to the point in his life where he thought that his labor in the Lord was in vain, that the Lord wasn't doing anything, that he was the only one left. But the Lord taught him that this was not so. There was still a remnant. No matter how dark, how bleak things may look around you, God has saved the remnant. We're not to become discouraged as Elijah did. As we look around and we see the condition of the church, when we look around and we see the wickedness that is around us, it's very easy to become as Elijah did, become discouraged, become downcast, to do as Elijah did and just run off to the wilderness. But God has promised victory. Look at 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 2, 14. "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." Notice that word, diffuse or in some translation it says manifest. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us manifest the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. To manifest the fragrance of his knowledge, brothers and sisters. To manifest, to diffuse that fragrance, to break that up, that fragrance. You have to go through the desert. You have to go through the dark places. You have to go through the sad times. Christianity is not just glory, glory, happy and clappy. We follow the man of sorrows. What did you expect when you became a Christian? Did you fall for the lie that everything was going to be great and wonderful? That's a lie. That's a distortion of the Word of God. If anything, the Bible teaches you that you will have a burden. You will have a cross. You will have thorns and thistles and hard times and suffering. And maybe now you're in that place. Remember this. God didn't lie to you. You fell for the lies of false teachers, false prophets. You fell for the lies that your own flesh would tell you, that Christianity was this, that, and the other thing. God has not lied to you. He gave you what he said he would promise to give you. And now he comes to you with another promise. A promise of lifting you up. A promise of restoration. He's promised you that he would finish the work that he's begun. In closing, let us look at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. In closing, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. A new commission, restoration. A new day has dawned upon you, my brother and my sister. If the Lord has been saying to you, as he said to Elijah, what are you doing here? He's also saying to you, now get up and go.